Blog Talk Radio.
Your attention, please. Pay attention, please. Be a witness. We got heroes and heroes risking their lives, bringing truth to the light. They're bringing truth to the light. Your attention, please. Pay attention, please.
I could write a legend to the ledger, and y'all would understand the rules.
Peace and blessings, and welcome to Flavor's Coffee House. Today is a Flavism show, so come in, sit down, relax, get your favorite beverage, get you something to eat, and, you know, I want to open up the phone lines and have a conversation with you. Generally, when I decide to do a Flavism show or maybe an artist roundtable, I was kind of thinking, is there really a difference between the artist roundtable and the Flavism? Maybe, maybe not. But anyway, generally when I decide to do one of these shows, there's something kind of weighing on my mind, and it stems from conversations that I've had with some of my creative friends out there, you know, because we always have these sidebar conversations, and it's like, you know what, maybe I need to take it to the radio and see what other people think. So today's conversation is of Facebook. You know, how do you think Facebook works for you as an artist? Is it an effective tool to use in marketing and promoting yourself, you know, selling product, getting people to advance, getting people to pay attention, really creating a true fan base? I mean, what are your thoughts? I have some thoughts on it. I'd love to share it with you, but I'm going to play some music until we get some callers. The call-in number, though, is 347-857-1189. Today I'm going to open up with a piece by my girl. I just think she is absolutely amazing. She goes by the name of BK, and this is Hardest Part.
Yeah, Nappy. Went platinum with this rap a few years ago. Went some places in this world we don't usually go. I learned some valuable lessons we don't usually know. I seen some ups and downs, but life's beautiful. I learned nothing that's promised before you leave for faith. The only thing I can promise is that I'm keeping faith. And many people wanna see you fall on your face. You gotta leave them behind, cause they running the place. Fame comes and goes without leaving a trace. You gotta do it for love, cause it's never replaced. Write your name on the heart, it's never erased. And get your piece of the pie and savor the taste. See, when you come from a lower class income, education is scarce, kinda hard to prepare. But who are you to say that life ain't fair? I make a living putting words to a kick in the snare, and I promise
I ain't running, I ain't scared. Whatever's coming, I'll be right there. This is nothing, wanted something, it's still the hardest part.
Top of the heap, but will I fall down? Touching these peaks is all I know now. Who is serious? Who gon' take the distance? If the hustle isn't there, then how the heart gon' make a difference? Come with precision, decisions with intuition. With every note I've been given, I balance it out with wisdom. I'll listen for just a minute before I go back to winning. I'm using all that I got to follow after this vision. If you can hear me, let me know, show me support. True musicians know the way to the door. Fans control the core. I write with spirit, the evidence is revealing. Appealing is just an understatement to what I get to feel. If you believe in, just smile and keep the meaning alive. The music's better when you reach from inside and try to relate. Great hope settles and wait, cause I'ma own it when I get to the gate. I'm coming.
I ain't running, I ain't scared. Whatever's coming, I'll be right there. This is nothing, wanted something, it's still the hardest part.
Still the hardest part.
I ain't leaving, have no fear. Best believe that I'll be right here.
Don't stop.
24/7. The hustle in me keeps me off the bottom rock. Between a hard spot, I parallel park the cat and drop. Like it's nothing, any situation, brush it off. Practice makes perfection. This verse is my reflection. Looking in the mirror at myself, I have a few suggestions. Give it all you got and never let them see you quit. Suck it up, your time is now, but only if you believe in it. Speak it to existence, the path of least resistance. The fame will get you, but the cash you chase can leave you friendless. And I'm a witness, without the first 48. People come and go throughout your life, but it's all what you make of the situation. Each is different time and place, rhyme and reason like the seasons been across all 50 states. Except for two, what's good for me ain't best for you. Do yourself and some wise friends, it's best to choose.
I ain't running, I ain't scared. Whatever's coming, I'll be right there. This is nothing. Something is still the hardest part. I ain't leaving, have no fear. Just believe that I'll be right here. I am hoping, but never knowing. It's still the hardest part. I ain't running, I ain't scared. Whatever's coming, I'll be right there. This is nothing. Wanting something is still the hardest part. I ain't leaving, have no fear. Just believe that I'll be right here.
Hardest Part by BK out of California featuring Nappy Roots. One of the reasons that I decided to do this show today, again, this is Flavism on Flavor News, on Flavor Coffee House. You know, normally I do a coffee house show. I open up the phone lines where artists can call and promote themselves, you know. But today I kind of wanted to have a conversation, and I had, you know, I was hit up by several people that wanted to participate, so I don't know if any of you that are on the phone line listening are wanting to chime in. Just hit that number one, and I definitely will bring you in. If you want to call in and participate, hopefully I'm going to have a dialogue going today. I know there's a lot going on, huh? Cinco de Mayo, we got the fight going on, all kinds of stuff. So I totally got it if you had other plans than coming out here to Flavor News Radio and chopping it up with me. I can always reschedule this. You know me, I'll just play some music. But anyway, if you do want to call in and talk about your thoughts on Facebook regarding artists, the call-in number is 347-857-1189. If you are on the line with me right now and you want to join in the conversation, you know, please just hit that number one button and I will definitely bring you in. Until I get somebody who wants to join me in conversation about Facebook, I'm going to just keep playing some music, and I'm going to bring you up here to the Pacific Northwest. This is one of my favorite artists, and I'm not saying that just because I like him as a human being, but I do. He is a great, great business mind. He's an amazing talent. He puts a lot of work. He's put a lot of money. And his family's made great sacrifices for him to be a creative soul. This is JC Flo with On the One featuring Mike Eddy.
I'm the one. I'm the one.
You would never take my shine. It's all my fault. Let me show you why I'm the one they call God. You will never take my shot. It's all mine from beginning to the end. I'm gonna have my time. Let me show you why I'm the one they call God.
Listen, y'all. So much in this life, don't wish to me. So much in this life, promise never let it get to me. I'm a hustler for the cash, with these days and these nights. Get back to the needy like Robin Hood, men in tights. I punch holes through these walls, yeah.
It's plain aggression. My hustler by nature, call it my gene expression. A little boy wonder never learned a spiritual lesson. This pen is my people and these rhymes are my confession. I'm hell bent, now I'm back, my whole world collapsed. But I've been there, I done that, got my name up on these plaques. Now I'm pushing a whole bus in a truckload of cash. Order luxury cars with my emblem on the dash. I'll buy you an island if it was on your Christmas list. Now buy myself a plane and say, put it on Craigslist. No matter if my number take a hit, cause when my side split, my walls will be twice as big. Yeah. With desperate signs, we all trying to make a statement, read between these lines. The devil reads the details and the details in my rhymes. The hustler's mind is on his money and my money's on the climb. Don't know where to find the time to cook up all these rhymes. I ain't going through the motions, I ain't no mime. I'm a fighter when it's prime, a modern day Einstein. My ill skills should be considered a crime. I'm a hustler, the true crime to prosecute. I'm ripping from your roof until your branches lose the fruit. Fool, aim and shoot, there's so many ways to execute. A simple task separated y'all from your losing. See the truth now. Let's cut the shit chat, though. Chip for chat, I'm gonna put you all on your back. There's so many facts about these skills that you all just lack. I'm gonna take my city, I'ma put it on the map. Yeah.
Northwest. I pay attention to, you know, a lot of the artists online. You know, that's what I do as the artist cheerleader. Sometimes I just sit back and I watch and, you know, watch what they're posting, how they're posting, and who's paying attention. And, oh, my goodness, all these different groups are popping up. You don't even have the option to be, to decide whether you want to be in them. People can just add you to groups. Like, what is that all about when it comes to Facebook? You know, you get added to groups without your permission, and then all of a sudden, you know, you get all of these notifications that something's going on in the group. And, you know, some of the groups I think is cool, and other groups I'm like, why am I even here? And, you know, then I find myself having to think to go back and, you know, remove myself from a group or whatever, you know. And when I came to Facebook, I was trying to think about this. I think it was about 2008 because I still had my coffee shop. It was still open. And one of my customers, Carl, you know, he said, you know, Flav, you should join Facebook. I didn't know what it was, and I did, and I didn't like it because I didn't, you know, I was so used to that MySpace, being able to make my page all pretty with leopard print and put up all this stuff, and I could not figure it out and could not figure it out. And I don't know when I actually really came back to it after starting the page, but I know my daughter, Mariko, she kind of helped me with it. And I thought, you know what, this might be fun. Maybe 100 people, that'd be cool, you know, and see where this goes, you know, chit-chatting back and forth and stuff. And then all of a sudden it kind of grew. 2009, you know, all of a sudden it was like, you know, you really need to get people on your page, Flav. You know, you're the artist cheerleader and you know, and you need to add people. You need to add because the more people you have, the more potential you have of people paying attention to you. And I had told myself I really didn't want any more than that 100, right? Well, then I kind of upped it and said, okay, I really don't want more than 200. you know, friends on Facebook, you know, because I really like kind of getting to know people and kind of really interacting and paying attention. And I figured the more people you have on there, the more mess, the more drama, you know, whatever. So anyway, you know, more people were coming. I wasn't necessarily going out and finding them. They were just kind of finding me or whatever. You know, you're connected to somebody. They said, you know, you're recommended or whatever. You know, you're suggested, add this person, whatever, you know. And the numbers started growing. And, you know, I was posting, you know, trying to be very supportive of some of the artists that I really, really believed in. And it's not only music talents that I support. I really started out as Lady Flava in the literary community, and that kind of fell to the wayside. And I've had some people reach out to me just recently, and it's like, is it just music talents that you support? And I had to be honest with them. I said, you know what? No, it's not. But the music talents are the ones that are the most aggressive and assertive in contacting me. You know, the artists don't contact, you know, in regards to, you know, wanting support from Flava News or, you know, visual artists or whatever. It is the music talents that are much more aggressive when it comes to that. And that might be an interesting conversation to have, too, the differences between the different art forms and how aggressive or not aggressive they are, or different styles of promoting themselves. But people started removing me off of Facebook because I posted so much, which I got. You know, I totally got it, you know, and then I started a Susan page just for my friends and family and, you know, people I went to high school with, people I've worked with and all of that. And that page is just solely for those people. There aren't artists over on that particular page. And it's really boring, I have to tell you. I really, really love interacting with artists and paying attention to what they do. But the more people that came on my Lady Flava page, There was more to try to pay attention to. There was more drama that came along with some of the artists. And there was so much posting going on that I missed a lot. I don't know if people realize it, that when you post on, let's just use my page as an example, you're posting for me. You're not posting for other people. And I get the impression that some people think that if they post on Lady Flava's page, then the people that are Lady Flava's friends are going to see it. They're not. The only way they're going to see it is if I take the time to repost that. And I have to be honest with you, I don't like cluttering up my page with the same posts. So if you post on my page and then you expect me to repost, then I repost and then I have two posts on my page of the same thing or even more. I really don't like that kind of look. I don't know what the resolve is in regards to keeping that off of my page or anybody's page, but, you know, and it doesn't work when you're a part of a team and the only people that are appear to be visually paying attention as the team. To me, that doesn't show that you're growing a fan base. It just shows that the team is paying attention to the fact that you're posting. You know, there are groups that are created for teams, and I can't quite comprehend. I thought I did in the beginning, but I can't quite comprehend what the purpose of the groups are for a particular artist when the only people that are paying attention are the people in that team. And so it's not saying that the team is getting other people to pay attention to this particular artist or art form or whatever the team is for. So my question is, what's the resolve? What is the purpose? Is Facebook working for you as an artist? Or is it not? Or do you think there could be some changes, you know, that we could advocate that Facebook makes to make it more user-friendly when it comes to the art forms? I know there are a lot of people on there that are just there to be sociable. I get that, and that's okay. And, you know, sometimes I want to just be sociable too. You know, but to be honest with you, on my Lady Flava page, it really is all about supporting you know, the underground independent artists, because that's what I believe in. And I think that Facebook, in my opinion, can be such a great, great forum to introduce new music, to introduce new books and arts to a lot of people. Not all the people on my page are artists. A lot of, I'll say 50% are artists, and the other 50%, maybe say 40%, are people who are connected to an artist that I'm connected to. So in my opinion, they are fans of the art. Very few are just on there just to be on there. So if you have some thoughts about Facebook, you know, if it's working for you, if it's not working for you, what do you think about the postings? I honestly think I've kind of gotten numb to paying attention to some of the postings because I've seen them so many times. I'm really, really big on visuals. I love visual. But when it's the same thing over and over, it just kind of becomes numb, and I just don't necessarily pay attention to it. It doesn't stand out. So you could post it on my page all you want. I don't necessarily pay attention to it. Or you could post it, you know, on your walls or in groups, and I don't necessarily see it. And the thing about the groups, too, who's really paying attention to the groups? If everybody's posting in the groups, who's really paying attention to the posts in the groups? Because the posts are happening like back to back to back. So then your post is getting pushed down very quickly because of the number of the people that are in the groups. And so who's really, really paying attention to the posts in the groups? If there's anybody out there that would love to chime in, I'd love to open up a dialogue with you. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. But until then, you know what? Let me just play another track by one of the artists that is part of the Flavor News movement. And I think I'm going to play Patrick Domino. This is called Honeybee. were listening to Honey Bee by Patrick Domino out of Ohio. Again, I want to welcome everybody to Flavor Coffee House for Flavism. I've decided to open up a topic on Facebook. I just want to hear what your thoughts are as an artist, as a creative person, or somebody a part of the entertainment arts community. What are your thoughts about Facebook and promotions and marketing and all of that? Is it an effective place to market yourself, or is it not? So if you would like to chime in a conversation with me, I would love to have somebody else to talk to about this subject. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. I'm going to bring in my first person to raise their hand. All right. Welcome to Flavism on Facebook, Stephen Jerome Ferguson.
Hey, how you doing, Flavor? How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, my friend?
I'm pretty good for an old guy.
Are you pretty good for an old guy? All righty.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, you know, you are one of the people that I've had some conversations with in regards to Facebook and, you know, kind of why I wanted to do this particular show. There have been several conversations that I've had with other people, though. And so there are people on the phone line. Again, if anybody wants to chime in on the conversation, you are welcome to the press that number one button and I will bring you in. Just a minute. I've got somebody at the door. So, just a minute. Hi. Okay. Let me just play a track. Stephen, hold on a minute. Let me play
sure.
a track. And let me take care of one of my clients, and I will come back. Let's see. Who do I want to play right quick? You know what? I'm just going to go with the first track that I come to. This is Antonio Ferraro out of Rome, Italy, and this is called Inside.
Thank you.
All right, we've been listening to Antonio Ferrato out of Italy, and this piece was called Inside. I'm sorry I had to jump to a track. I needed to take care of something for one of my clients right quick. But, Stephen, thank you so much for hanging on the line with me. I appreciate you being the first person to raise your hand to join me in conversation about, you know, Facebook and, you know, if you feel it is effective when it comes to, you know, artists promoting themselves and marketing themselves and what they do and their product and projects. So what are your thoughts on that, Stephen?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. You know, I really appreciate, you know, mixing it up with you a lot of times. You know, we've done this before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we got to face it. There's a lot more people on Facebook now than especially artists, not only artists, but companies and all kinds of people just promoting different ideas, promoting different companies, promoting music, books. I mean, everybody, it seems like everybody out there is promoting something.
Right.
And we all have to kind of face it that Facebook wasn't really designed for promoting businesses or you know, that kind of stuff like that. It was more designed for as a social network for people to just get together and finding old classmates and that kind of stuff like that, you know, family members that you haven't seen in a long time.
Right.
And that's what it was basically designed to do. And then all of a sudden, companies and stuff started realizing that, hey, you know, everybody's on Facebook, so I should be able to get out there and promote what I do on Facebook. And the people on Facebook were kind of cool with it. You know, they gave us the ability to set up different pages, like we could set up a company page, an artist page, fan page, that kind of stuff like that, and then the
mm-hmm.
group pages as well. But that's about as far as it's probably going to go. I don't know if you're counting on Facebook as your main source of promotion. I wouldn't, because of the fact that there's just so many people out there promoting something that it pretty much gets lost in the shuffle.
Right.
I think the key to it is individual contact. Just contacting people one-on-one and saying, hey, and I don't mean those mass emails either where people,
mm-hmm.
I hate those.
I do too.
You know, you get an email in your inbox and it's like addressed to you and 86 other people. It's like, okay, I was just one on the list that they just chose. You know, it feels impersonal and, you know, basically it feels like spam. So,
yeah, right. Well, and every time they respond to the post, then you get to see that, too. It hits your
yeah,
inbox,
I know.
Too. You know,
you start
so,
getting
yeah.
90,000 messages in your inbox, and you don't. And sometimes the thing has come in. I mean, I'm not on Facebook 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
So I could get one of those emails, like today, I haven't even been on Facebook at all. I could get one, and like 15 people could have responded to that one email, and when I go look at mine, I got 50 emails and they're about the same
right.
thing. And
right.
it's hard to tell what it was about in the first place.
Yeah.
So, please wish people would stop doing that. But it's a tool that you can use. It's just like any profession that uses any kind of tools. A carpenter just doesn't use just a hammer. He uses a hammer,
mm-hmm.
a screwdriver, pliers, everything. He uses different tools. And I think that's what everyone has to look at, is that if you're just putting all your promotion in Facebook, then I really think you're wasting your time. You're not going to get the you're not going to get what you're looking for, especially if you're a musician, any kind of recording artist, anything like that, because, I mean, you can go on Facebook anytime and look at the news feed, and it's like 1,000 videos or, you know, please come listen to my music or please do this, please do that. Now, I'm an artist, and I'm tired of looking at that now.
Right.
You know, so it's like, okay, so what? Next? Oh, okay.
And I think that's what I think that's what happened, at least for me. I think that's what's happened in the last few weeks is I sit there and I'm like, why are you posting this on my page when I've already seen it 50 million times? You know, I support this artist, so it's not like I'm not aware of this artist, you know, and just I see some things over and over and over, and I'm like, ooh, okay, like, what do you want me to do now? I've seen this for months, you know, what do you want me to do? And I'm sure, honestly, there are things that I post that people want to say, okay, and, you know,
yeah.
Next, you know, mm-hmm. And so I'm not excluding myself out of it, too, because, you know, I can really get up there and start posting over and over and over, too. I noticed, though, when I post a picture of my grandchild, there can be all kinds of hits.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I post one of those little banners with a saying on it, I can get all kinds of hits if it's something that people are really, really liking. And the interesting thing is, on that, there are people who will hit those buttons that I didn't even know were on my page.
Right, right.
You know, so,
yeah.
Like, if I post something about some music or one of my radio shows, you know, it is very clear that, you know, generally, like, you know, the SJF family will hit the like button and, you know, a few others or whatever. I will say, though, for myself, I do think that it is, you know, one of the driving forces to my radio shows and to my website, at least for my website for sure, because it says, you know, when you go to the analytics, it shows, you know, that the source, you know, of where somebody came from was Facebook. And so the numbers are very, very high of, you know, of the hits coming to my website from Facebook. Now, I do think originally when my radio shows, I think it did come from Facebook. But now because I've been on Blog Talk Radio for, you know, a little over 2.5 years or whatever, that people are now just knowing I'm there. I have a lot of hits to my archives, you know, but I think originally it was driven by Facebook. So I think that there has been a benefit for me, you know, as Lady Flava and what it is that I do. I guess my frustration came to be that I really want to support the artist, and I'm not sure if what I'm doing when I repost or I post something about individual artists or groups, if it's beneficial, because
right.
Since I've become numb to paying attention to other people's postings, I'm thinking people have become numb to paying attention to my postings, and
right.
So I agree with you, Stephen, that you should never use Facebook as the only source. You know, there are so many other networks out there. There are some geared towards the arts. There are some not geared towards the arts, but,
right.
You know, you could potentially, you know, gain a fan. The other thing, too, is like, you know, some of the artists have mentioned this, you know, like on my page, I'm up to 3,000 people or whatever on my Lady Flava page, you know, but when it comes to my Flava News page, my business page, I got 300.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Now, it's really interesting how difficult it is to get somebody to hit that like button for
right.
The business page.
Right.
But I get constant requests for friends on my Lady Flava page. So I'm not really sure if there's a benefit to the business page.
Well,
you know?
I wish there was a way where... because I'm in the same basic situation as you.
Okay.
I've got the personal page, and then I get this individual page, and then I've got the SJF music page.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish that there was a way for me to be able to just completely take down that individual page and just leave up the business page.
Right.
Because I get a lot of people coming to the personal page and all that, but if I said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, if it wasn't for the music, I probably wouldn't be online anyway at all.
Yeah.
I'm not online looking for dates. I'm not doing this. I'm not, you know, I got friends. I don't need 9,000 friends to have to deal with. But you can't do, Facebook won't let you do that. They won't let you, at least as far as I know, they won't let you take down your individual page and leave up the company page.
Oh, because they're tied together, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
That's right. Interesting point.
Now, I have thought about just putting up a personal page and labeling it SJF Music, but then the tools that I have available on the artist page cannot be used on an individual page. Like, you go to my artist page, there's some buttons at the top. You got a button where you can go to you can buy music, you can listen to music, you can do this, you can do that, and all, you can join the mailing list, all that good stuff. But you can't put that stuff on an individual page.
Okay.
So it's one in one hand and the other. You got to have both.
Right.
And I think that can be confusing to the average person. Because you go to an individual's page, and when you go to that individual's page, let's say you look at somebody and say, hey, you know, this person may be interested in what I do. So you send them a friend request.
Mm-hmm.
They accept
it. Right.
But it's to your individual page. And
right.
On the other hand, your business page, it won't allow you to do that. It won't allow you to go to an individual's page and say, hey, will you, you know, join my network here? It's got to be done from the individual page. That's what I'm saying. It's set up as an individual thing, and the business part of Facebook was kind of added later.
Right.
And you know, they still trying to keep the social network part of it intact, and which is a good thing. But
I think there's definitely a benefit to Facebook. I'm with you, Stephen. If it wasn't for the artists and doing my radio shows and all, and me just really really believing in supporting the underground independent artists, I wouldn't be on Facebook either.
Right.
You know, and that was my draw to come over, you know, to Facebook and start really paying attention. And in the beginning, it was fun. I'll be honest with you, for a couple of years, it was fun, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoyed it. That's how I, you know, came to know a lot of artists. You know, that's how I gained, you know, a lot of the connections that I have, you know, are from Facebook. So I don't have any regrets about it. I think that what I'm doing right now is just really kind of reevaluating how to best use it, where it doesn't drive me crazy, because I think it's gotten to the point it drives me crazy. It's very time-consuming if you choose to be on there. I never open up my chat, never. You would be amazed.
Oh, my goodness. I did that one time.
People pop up on my chat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, who are you, and where did you come from?
Where have you been? You know what I mean? And, you know, that's one of the things about Facebook is that if let's say I put a new song on my individual page,
uh-huh.
Right?
Okay.
And, you know, people come by, they'll hit the like button. You know, people come by, hit the share button, whatever. And then some people would just come by, hit the play button, and just listen to it.
Right.
Right. The only thing I can actually track from Facebook are the people that either hit the like button or the share button. it could be 500 more people come by and hit the play button and listen to the
right,
music.
Right, but you can't track it.
Right.
Because they actually have to, like if it's a Reverb Nation link, they have to
if
go
if it's a
Reverb
Nation thing, it's different. If
okay.
it's Reverb Nation, I can tell how many people
okay.
hit the play button.
Okay.
But everybody's not on Reverb Nation.
Right.
And that has actually helped more than anything else, because if it wasn't for Reverb Nation being attached to my Facebook page,
mm-hmm.
I'd have no idea how many people were listening to a certain song or whatever.
Right.
Because Facebook's not set up for that.
Right. Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, and if... And I know you remember MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what killed MySpace was the fact that MySpace allowed musicians, you could just set up a musician's page, and it was treated exactly like an individual page.
Okay.
And I think people got kind of tired of being bombarded with, please come listen to my music. I got a new song. Come look at my
mm-hmm.
video. Here's my video. Here's this. Here's that.
Okay.
And I think people got kind of tired of that, and people started leaving MySpace to go to Facebook just for that reason.
I was trying to think back to why I even stopped, you know, going over to MySpace. You know, it was fun at first, but I have to say there was so much drama over there. So much drama, and I've always been on these social networks in a sense as Lady Flava, you know, or Flava Coffee House, you know, and stuff. And so, you know, that was a good place in the beginning too. You know, when I had my coffee shop, I could advertise when I was doing my open mic, different things going on at the coffee shop, whose books I had for sale there. When I did my literary conference, you know, most of the authors, you know, came from advertisements on MySpace and all of that. So I think it just became so kind of drama-filled. And you know, like I said, Carl, one of my customers, was like, you know, Flav, you need to join Facebook. And that's how I got started over there, you know, or whatever. And maybe just social networks only kind of have a certain amount of time that, you know, they have a run where,
yeah,
you know,
lifespan.
It seems to be
yeah.
effective, and then it just doesn't. So,
yeah, because the same thing happened with MySpace. It was the hottest thing since sliced bread when it first
yeah.
came out.
Yeah.
And musicians jumped on it in a skinny minute. I mean, it was amazing what you could do. You could make your page all any kind of way you wanted to and whatever. And, but then when places like that begin to get popular, then you start getting the hackers and
right.
all the other stuff. And I've noticed a lot more of that happening on Facebook now.
There is. There is a lot of hacking going on.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And
well, even like this weekend, I've had a real difficult time getting into my Facebook. It keeps telling me that it's temporarily down, you know, try again later or whatever. And I'm like, okay, what is that all about? So, you know, and I think maybe you're right. Maybe the more popular a site gets, the more potential for spamming and hackers and all of that.
Oh, of course,
you know,
yeah.
to come in. You know,
all those people are seeing all those people coming to Facebook, and they say, okay, I can just throw all my stuff out there and
right.
throw all the spam out here and whatever. And, you know, it's like going fishing.
So then, Stephen, I know we kind of briefly talked about this on the phone and all, you know, but what are your thoughts? What is the way for an artist to best, you know, promote and market themselves to find real fans? Like, I'm saying, like, real fans, not like people who just hit the like button, right, and
right.
join a group or a page or something. Like, real fans that will pay attention and support them. I know that Reverb Nation is specifically set up for musical talents. There are some fans over there. There aren't as many, but there are fans over there that do, like myself, you know, go surf some music if I'm in the mood and you know, check out a certain genre and then listen to music from all over the world. And that's one of the things I think is beautiful about either Reverb Nation or our stage, you know, because you can listen to music from all over the world, you know, at any time of day. You can go and hit a certain genre, you know, and this and that. But I don't know how many people are just fans on those type of sites, you know, and how I was telling you, I wish there was a way that we could create a site that is geared towards only fans and consumers of the art to join, and maybe they could list what type of genres or what type of art they like, and then artists can join, whether, I don't know if it would be a paid site or how you would, you know, differentiate that, and then be able to kind of target potential fans and consumers or whatever, you know, because I think that the internet is a great way, you know, of marketing and promoting when you're an, especially an underground independent artist. But how to get people to pay attention, that's my concern, because I was sitting back and I was watching on Facebook, because I do have some mainstream artists that I've hit the like button on, or somehow we've become friends or whatever, and there are tons of people paying attention to them, like tons. You know, so clearly the mainstream artists are being paid attention to on Facebook.
Of course, because they're mainstream artists. If you think that artist is sitting there on Facebook going out there making contact with 3,000-4,000 people a day, you're wrong.
Right.
They've got teams of people that are paid to do that.
Right.
You know, if I had a multi-million-dollar marketing budget.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, I'd have every time I put a post up, I'd get 3,000 or 4,000 likes on it, you know, just because of that. But I think that the only way that an independent artist or someone just starting a company or anything is, one, you don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Right.
Okay. There are different sites out there that are very useful to help you promote yourself. I wasn't afraid of Twitter, but I just didn't know how to use it.
I still don't know how to use it.
Once I learned how to use it, it became an excellent marketing tool for me.
Okay.
Twitter is almost designed for marketing. Even though you only get a certain amount of characters to put in a post, you can still put up links, and it'll shorten the link for you and all that. It's an excellent tool to use for artists. LinkedIn is another one. You can make some connections with some real sharp people on LinkedIn, mostly professional people that are in the industry that can help you out with stuff. And, of course, I am a firm believer that if you want to be taken seriously in this business or in any business, you have to have your own website. People are not going to take you seriously unless they can go to www.mywallpaper.com or mykitchencabinets.com and see what you personally are doing.
Right.
And the cool thing about that is that most sites, most social sites like LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, even MySpace, you are limited to what you can do.
Right.
On your own website, you can do what you want to do. It doesn't matter. You can put up anything you want to put up, any kind of way you want to put it up, and you've got a whole lot more freedom that way. And if you set it up right, I've taken some web courses on what the search engines look for and all this other kind of stuff. Just take a couple of those short little courses online. They only last about 45 minutes, and they'll tell you what kind of keywords to put into the
to the text on your own website to make it come up better when people do like Google searches and stuff like that.
Okay.
I've gotten, just this week alone, just this week, I've gotten over 9,000 hits on my website just from the fact of me putting the right words in the right places on the pages on the website. If I was getting that kind of traffic on Facebook, yeah, shoot, I'd be living large.
Right.
But at least,
and I don't know if people really understand the importance of numbers. You know, because when you are an artist that are really serious about doing something, you know, like for instance, if I'm not a believer in being signed by a major record label, but if you're somebody who wants to be, they're going to want to know what your infrastructure is. They're going to want to know how many people are paying attention to you. They're going to want to know how many albums, you know, you have sold, you know, on your own. You know, how popular are you? How many people can you get to come to a show? All of these things that you've done on your own, you know, to then determine, you know, whether you are going to be somebody that they want to sink their money in. The other thing is that, you know, when you're signed with a major record label, there are different levels of talent. You may not be the top dog.
You
may be one
that,
you know, at the lower level.
Yeah,
you know,
you'll be the guy that's he, most of the time he's cleaning, mopping the floors and cleaning the toilets.
Yeah.
And if they need a single or something, they might hook you up. But
right. So it's just because you get signed does not mean that you're, you know,
no,
they're necessarily going to push you either. But the thing is they're going to pay attention to numbers. If you are looking for to get on, you know, if you're looking for a promoter, you know, to get you on to some certain shows, they're going to want to know what your numbers look like. You know,
exactly.
How many people are you, again, bringing out to your own shows? How many people are following you? How many people are purchasing, you know, your CDs? You know, things like that. When you take it to the next level and you go and you step up there amongst, you know, the people who potentially can really make moves for you, they're going to want to know what your numbers look like. So this playing around on Facebook isn't necessarily...
They want to see numbers, but they want to see how numbers equate to sales.
Dollars.
You know, it's fine and good if you got 9,000 friends on your Facebook page, but if you're not selling anything, those 9,000 friends don't mean absolutely. They mean absolutely
nothing.
Exactly.
Exactly.
And that was that's kind of like what you said about you. You know, you got what you got all these people on your individual page, but only about 1/3 of them have actually gone over to the business page and hit the like button.
Right.
So what are those other people doing? And
exactly.
Those,
I mean, what does it even matter that they're your friends? You know, or
I've seen. In fact, I have talked to people on Facebook that have, you know, have Facebook pages and all, and said they've told me that whenever, and there's a lot of people out here to do this, unfortunately, they say if they get a friend request or something from like an artist or something like that, the very first thing that comes in their head is, okay, that artist is just looking for another number to fill up their page. So they just go ahead and accept it, but they don't pay attention to that artist after that.
Sure.
You know, they figure their commitment is done by just being a fan number 499.
Right.
You know? So, and there's a lot of people on Facebook that will do that. They'll just accept it, and, you know, after that they won't even know anything about you. The only real measure is being able to have your site tied to something that can keep stats for you, and just look at those stats and pay attention to those. Even if it is the same people coming to listen to your music every day, if you can gain 1, 2, 3, or 4 more, you know, in a week, you're doing good, because there's so many people out there making music now.
Right.
I mean, there are tons of independent artists, you know, all on different levels of professionalism, putting music out there on Facebook right now. And that's where I think the biggest problem is with the average person on Facebook, is they see all this stuff every day, and it's like, okay, such and such posted again, okay, big deal. Oh, yeah, he posted again, okay, big deal. Oh, he got a new single out, oh, big deal. He got a new single out every other week, you know. And it gets oversaturated. And whenever you oversaturate the market, you kill it.
Right.
You kill your market when you oversaturate it. I mean, that's common marketing sense.
And I think that's what I'm feeling right now, is that, you know, it's just like I was saying, you know, go into these different groups. Even, I mean, I do it. I'm guilty of it, right? I'll go post about an artist or a show I'm doing in all these, you know, different groups I'm doing. And like, you know, we talked about, you know, as soon as I'm posted over there, 25 more posts came behind me. You know, so it pushes down my posts, and who's really even going over to those groups and even looking at what's posted over there?
If people would be a little bit more courteous with this, because I've noticed that in a lot, especially the music groups, you'll have one artist will go over there and post, and they will post, like, if they've got 9 different songs available for you to listen to, they'll make a post about song number 1, then song number 2, another post about song number 3. You know what? And that doesn't do nothing but goes back to oversaturating the market again.
Right.
The group's supposed to be for everybody. You know, if you go in and try to oversaturate a group with just your posts, and you end up just posting and just pushing everybody else's posts down, what's wrong? If you got 9 songs, okay, fine. Post one today, post one tomorrow, post one the next. Give somebody else a chance to be at the top of the page.
Right.
You know, we're all in this together. I mean, it's a free site, so don't try to monopolize it just because it's free. You wouldn't be able to do that on a pay site.
Right, right. Interesting point.
So it's like, it's kind of like a courtesy thing that's got to go on. If you got 9 songs, don't put... Even if you got 9 songs, just put one post about where people could go to listen to all 9 of them or something like that. You know, you don't have to put each one individually to push everybody else's stuff off the page.
Right.
Come on, that's not even fair.
Okay, so now I'm going to flip it a little bit different, Stephen. And maybe kind of put you, you know, put you on the spot with this one.
Hello?
Since you, can you hear me?
Oh, now I can, yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to put you on the spot. And I know, you know, because you are, you know, the CEO of SJF Music, and you have, you know, artists that you're working with, and you have, you know, an album that's out, you know, Between Dusk and Dawn, and that, you know, of course you're trying to push. It's an excellent, very high quality done, you know, album, and I think it's beautifully done. Now, first of all, my first question is, how effective has Facebook been in creating sales for that album? Uh-oh. Did we go dead? I don't know if, because I can't hear Stephen. And Mr. Funk, oh, nope, I guess Stephen's gone. So... anyway, I'm just was curious, you know. Okay, I think I got Stephen back. Okay, I was like,
hello?
Was I talking to myself?
I just went barless for a second, and I mean, just everything died on me.
So anyway, I was asking Stephen, how effective has Facebook been, you know, in creating sales for Between Dusk and Dawn?
Define effective. You know what I mean? It's kind of like...
Okay, have you sold albums?
Yes,
and
I have.
Do you think it's come from Facebook?
I have gotten some sales from Facebook. Yes, I have. I'm not going to sit here and say I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
And it has been it's a constant. So I guess you could say it is effective, but it's not more effective than my own website. It's not more effective than Reverb Nation. It's not more effective than Twitter. If I would have to put it in, let's see, where am I at right now? Let's see, I got my own website, Reverb Nation, Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I say out of all those, it would probably be in the, I would say the bottom third.
Okay.
As far as effectiveness goes. But I have gotten some sales from it.
Okay.
A lot of people that have met me on Twitter and on my own website and all that, a lot of those people have joined me on Facebook, but I originally met these people somewhere else.
Okay.
So it's just, if they shut down Facebook tomorrow, I wouldn't cry over it.
Right.
You know, I'd just, you know, move on to something else. But it's, and I've met some good people over there and some new fans and friends and that kind of stuff like that. So it has been a deal. But, you know, going back to what we were talking about earlier, I think that independent artists, especially on Facebook, because of the way it's set up, individual artists need to make individual contact with people. And instead of these just mass posts and mass emails and this kind of stuff like that, just sit down, contact someone on Facebook, and talk to them about what you do. If you don't get a response, then you know they're not interested. Or,
sure.
And some people are not, you know, I've got, like, I don't know, about 600-some people on my individual page, and out of those people, probably an eighth of them are on Facebook on a regular basis. And when I mean regular basis, I mean sometimes every day. A lot of these people are only on Facebook once a month, once a week, you know, that kind of stuff like that. So, you know, it's hard to tell because people do have lives they have to live. You know, they, you know, doing other things besides being online every day. So you got to take that kind of stuff into consideration. But I think the best way to go is the one-on-one contact. You know, make that one-on-one connection. find out if they're even interested in what you're doing. And if they are, then you can email them some links to your webpage or to your wherever you have your music set up at or whatever. But
right.
I think that's how you probably need to go. The only downside to that is it takes a ton of time.
Sure.
You know, it takes a ton of time.
But it definitely could be well worth it, you know, if you say...
It could be.
Do, you know, 10 people a day or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of, in a sense, copy and paste. You can add some personalized touches to it, you know.
Yeah.
But I think that I would appreciate that more, too,
mm-hmm.
myself. if somebody went that direction with me. I really hate being added to you know, groups that I don't want to be a part of. I don't like you were talking about, the mass emails in
right.
the inbox. That disturbs me. I hate for artists to post on my page videos or music that is so against my appreciation. I don't know if that's a good way of putting it, but, you know, it's kind of like, get to know, find out what I'm willing to pay attention to before you post on my page.
Exactly, yeah.
That
just
really disturbs
you know.
Me, you know, to have an artist post something on there and there's just a bunch of cussing and, you know,
the
whatever.
The only place that's good for is in a group. That's the only place you should do mass stuff like that. But even when you're posting stuff on your own page,
mm-hmm.
take a little bit of extra time to. You could even make a post in a group sound and seem like it's a personal message from you to whoever is reading it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you just take a little bit of time to word it right, and
sure.
The thing I hate to see more than anything else is an artist posting something and say, "Please listen to my music." I don't know if it affects anybody else the same way, but that's just a turn off to me.
Right.
You know, when I see the first thing I see is "Please listen." No, I won't. You know. But.
It's funny what works for one and what may not work for another or whatever. You know, I guess it's definitely, you know, individual taste in how somebody comes at you. I do agree with you, Stephen, that there's so many artists out there. There's so many that are competing against each other for attention. I think the other problem, too, is that a lot of artists connect with other artists. And in my opinion, that's kind of defeating the purpose, because they are your competitors. They're generally not going to be your consumers. You know, I mean, if
not
you're wanting feedback from your peers, that's one thing, you know. But if you're trying to get in front of somebody who's going to really pay attention to you and, you know, purchase something or pay to come to an event or whatever, generally your peers aren't the one to do that amongst, you know?
Right, yeah. And I tend to agree with you on that, because, you know, it's good to network with your peers and everything, because you can get some information about some other things going on, like maybe new 24-hour radio, internet radio sites and stuff like that. You can get information about companies looking for new talent, you know, or anything like that from your peers. But as far as buying your music, 9 times out of 10, they probably won't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if you're looking for new consumers, Facebook is the place to be. But because of the fact that you're unknown and the public has been geared so long to, if I hear it on regular FM radio, it must be good, then, and you don't have a $10,000 a month marketing budget, then you have to go with the individual contact one-on-one and just,
right.
you know, see what happens. You know, and if you can, get a newsletter put out. You know, just put out a newsletter and let your fans, let the people know to sign up to get these newsletters. Give them information that they can use about what you're up to, what you're doing, you know, all that good stuff. The newsletter thing is a great tool.
I agree with you on that. I think that if if you could commit to regularly doing that, which I'm not good at committing that for myself. I think if an artist is good at it, and you can just put something that just, you know, whatever it is, tip of the day, whatever, thought of the day, along with, you know, information about who you are, what you're doing, projects you're working on, what to expect in the future, you know, video, whatever. I think it is a good way of, like, driving them to a website or driving them to a Reverb Nation page or something like that. You know, and you, in that way, you do connect with them more so because they're the ones willing to sign up. They're willing to take that step to sign up to get.
And you got to be consistent with it, but you again, you can't oversaturate people's email inboxes either. I've signed up for artist newsletters, and I get a newsletter from them every day, sometimes three times a day. Nobody has that much to talk about. I'm sorry.
And you're right.
Be consistent. You know, put out one a week, one a month. You know, whatever. But just, you know, I try to put mine out on the 15th of every month. That's all I have time for. You know? But I try to be consistent with it so that the people I signed up for know when the 15th of the month rolls around, they can expect to see an email from me. You know, so, yeah, and it has helped. It has helped with sales. It's helped with new fans. I get about two or three new sign-ups a day for the newsletter, and you know that's not bad. My when I send it out, I get about a 45% open rate, which is real good. The average for a newsletter
That is really good.
The average for a newsletter is like 18% open rate. So if I could keep that up, I'm good to go. But see, I don't saturate it. I don't give them emails four or five times a day about I'm going to eat pizza now. Well, who cares? I don't care.
Exactly. Well, you know, Stephen, I appreciate you coming on and joining me in conversation in regards to Facebook. It's something I'm really thinking about, and I'm reevaluating how I can better use it myself, you know, as being somebody who is a supporter of, you know, artists, because I definitely believe in trying to find creative ways, you know, to shine the light on some very, very deserving artists. You know, we talked about the fact on the phone, you know, about you know, back in the day, you know, the artists had to really, really hustle, get out there in people's faces. You know, it was like dropping off the cassettes to the radio stations and, you know, performing at, you know, local pubs and traveling on a bus to, from town to town to perform. And, you know, just the hustle, that individual in-person hustle to then... You know, now we have this thing called internet, right? And we can get ourselves in front of the masses, not only in our own area, but across the United States and around the globe. So how do we effectively use this tool? I think that, I think there still is a way of doing it, but how to do it is the challenge because I think it's oversaturated. And
I think it is too.
You know, and Facebook is, you know, I don't know what is going to be the next new site for people to jump on when it comes to, you know, when Facebook kind of dies out. I know for myself, I'm going to be pulling back and not being on there as much and trying to figure out a more effective way. It's not that I'm not going to be on Facebook, you know, because I will, you know, but if you've noticed, I don't hardly post right now because I just... It's just not in me, you know. It doesn't feel like people are paying attention, and that's that feels like it's been a waste of time for me, you know. And when it feels like a waste of time, I'm like, why do it, you know? You know, I mean, I love my SJF family. I love my Mark Van Claggett family. I love my Black Sax family and all, you know. But it's like if you guys are the only one hitting the like button.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It means nothing. Exactly. you know, because you guys
that,
already
that,
know.
That
you
like
know, the
button
artist
really
I support.
Doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, what does, okay, you hit the like button. What does that mean?
Right.
You know, I wish
it means
they'd take
nothing.
That off.
Right. I wish they would take that off, too. I know that people, you know, have talked about they wish that they would create a dislike button, but you know what? What's that even going to serve ease to, you know?
Right, right.
I think that if you, the biggest honor you can give somebody is hitting that share button, you know? And
right.
If you believe in who they are and what they're doing, hitting that share button says a lot. You know,
right.
Because you're willing to then put that person in front of your network.
Exactly.
And I
would much rather have you hit the share button and hit the like button because,
right.
You know, that gets it out there more.
Exactly. And it puts it in front of a new audience that potentially may pay attention. And I think that if we could do that, you know, with each other, really, you know, support each other in that light and hitting the share button, Facebook could be much more effective, you know.
Especially, it would be.
Nothing else, getting the name out there, getting that name recognized and heard.
Exactly.
You know,
because,
and then,
you know, originally Facebook, if you posted anything on your page, it'll show up on the news feed for everybody to see. But it's not like
right.
that anymore. I mean, they have to be subscribed to you in order
to
see it.
Okay, that's a good point. That's something we haven't talked about, Steven.
Yeah. You could post all day long, and the only people that are ever going to see it are the people that are subscribed to your page. You know,
right.
And that's one thing that they changed, and I don't know why they changed that, but, you know, it's not my place, but... I think that a lot of people are starting to get a little, not frustrated, but just kind of bored with Facebook. Because,
uh-huh.
I mean, you could tell by some of the people's posts, some of the people
right.
that are not artists, people that are just on there just to be on there. You could tell by some of their posts that, you know, I think I kind of ran out of things to talk about. So I'm going to just say I'm sitting here playing with my cat right now. You know.
Well, or the other thing is, Stephen, is so easy to, why is it, okay, I was going to say, it is so easy to repost these little banners with sayings. Now, why is it that we can hit the share button on those?
Girl, last week, I changed my relationship status last week.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. You would think that I had... put up there that if you hit the like button, you can get $2 million.
Right.
I mean, I had more comments, more likes, more things and all that than anything in the world on that. But...
I had, you know, and Stephen, I thought it was the funniest thing when I saw you change your relationship status to engaged on there. Because, you know, I told you I felt like changing my relationship status to engaged, too.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see if some drama would start. You know, it was like, I wonder how many people would pay attention
to
Lady Flava changing her relationship status to engage and Stephen Jerome Ferguson changing his relationship status to engage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's yeah, now that would get some hits or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
Why is that instead of, like, people reposting about Between Dusk and Dawn?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I don't know. It goes back to, I think, what Facebook was designed for in the first place, I guess. But I don't know. People are... I think Google Plus is going to be the next one, the next big thing.
Okay.
And the one thing I haven't really played with it a lot, but I am starting to learn it a little better. And you have the ability on Google Plus to put people in different circles. So you can have a circle of friends that are just artists or people in the business. And
okay.
then you can have, and you can name these circles anything you want. You know, you can put it, you can have a circle of potential consumers, people that you know have bought your music, people that you know
okay.
have signed up for the newsletter, whatever you want to do.
And then you can target these individual circles with information that applies to that circle. Right? You can.
Okay.
So I wouldn't necessarily post that I got a new album coming out to people that are musicians just like me trying to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I would put that out to the potential consumers, the people that I know have bought in the past and that kind of stuff like that. So it's a little bit, it's a lot easier to put people in groups and specifically target your marketing to that specific group.
Okay. I have a Google Plus. I think I was just thinking about this as you were talking. I think I'm treating Google Plus like I did Facebook in the beginning back in 2008.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I have one. I have just never used it.
Right.
Because I don't think I've ever figured it out or something. So I think that I definitely should do that. I have been over on my LinkedIn page much more, you know, lately. And I do like connecting with the professionals because I've met some really interesting people over there.
Yeah.
And they're more professional people, or they'll ask me about who I am and what I do. And I kind of appreciate that, you know, but I do think that, you know, I do think that Facebook can still be, you know, utilized as a source to get yourself out there. I think you just need to be a little bit more creative. I think the same postings over and over, I think people are just starting to just not pay attention.
I think
that you're right, Stephen. Be a little bit more selective in when you post and how much you post at any given time, you know, to kind of give people that opportunity to actually pay attention to a post.
And try to make
you know,
your
or
posts
whatever. So,
more personalized, you know, not just a generic post. You know, just make it – you can word a post to make it, when the reader actually looks at it and read it, to make it sound like you're actually talking to them.
Right.
Instead of just talking to everybody. So
right.
That helps a lot, too.
And I think that you also made a good point about, like, you know, maybe, because if you've got a bunch of people you don't know who the heck they are, you know, reach out to them individually and you know, introduce yourself and tell them, you know, about who you are and what you do or something they can listen to or whatever. That's something I think I may try to do, too, just because I feel like at this point my biggest way to support artists is the radio shows. I do, because my listenership is growing globally. It's not all coming from Facebook, so a lot of it is driven from right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
And I just feel like this is where I can put you guys in front of a greater audience, whether it's having you on as featured guest or whether it is, you know, playing your music and all, you know. So I think that I may think through how to do the radio shows to better support the artists on here. You know, but I think that we just need to take a moment because it's too easy to just post, you know, on Facebook. And, you know, when you sit back and you really pay attention to what they're actually liking, you know, or resharing, it's not necessarily anything that has to do with you being an artist.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, so how can you bring them back into, you know, to that? I think it can be done, but I think that it's just something that you need to be put a little bit more thought into. It's something I know I need to put a little bit more thought into, and I think that I just got burnt out, you know, and needed to kind of step back a bit. And because of having this conversation with a lot of people, you know, on the side, I thought, you know, what better way to do it is to bring it to the radio, you know, and just open up a dialogue. You know, there were a lot of people that said that they wanted to participate. There are people on the phone line, so if any of you want to join in, we've got like 30 minutes left in the show. Just hit that one button. If you're listening and you want to join in on this conversation with Stephen and I, The call-in number is 347-857-1189. But, you know, the funny thing is, Stephen, when you and I get together on the shows and we talk about a topic, we get a lot of hits to the archives. So I'm definitely not disappointed if you're the only one that I have, you know, on the air to talk to, because I know people come back and listen to the archives, you know, the numbers. This is when I know the numbers, you know, really, really matter, you know, and that people are interested in what's being talked about, even if they don't. They're not able to be here, you know, right when the show's taking place. The other thing I do realize is that, you know, it's Cinco de Mayo, and there's also a fight, you know, that's taking place. People, I know my son's got a fight party going on at his house and stuff. And, like, here in Seattle, it's a beautiful day, so it's a great day to be out and about. We got to take advantage of this because yesterday it was pouring down rain, so... I know there's different reasons why people might not be here. But, if anybody who's listening on the phone line and you want to chime in, just hit that one and I will bring you in. But, Stephen, let me just take a quick break and play, play a track. And then we can come back and kind of close out on the subject if you're wanting to stay on the phone with me.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, cool. You know, I think that I will actually play a piece from your album, Between Dusk and Dawn, and I'm going to play Step Into This Love by Leah Henderson.
Okay.
This love you never felt before. Step into this love that will hold you forevermore. It's not a love from outer space. It's a love seasoned with grace. Even the stars know this love because they were created by hands above. It's a love that never fades. It's a love that never goes away. So tell me, are you interested in this love that I'm bringing to you? Let me know so I can get it to you, but you can take your time. Now sit back while you unwind. Oh, the melody, the way it makes me feel, is so real. Thank you.
We were listening to Step Into This Love by Leah Henderson, produced by Stephen Jerome Ferguson of SJF Music. You can find that particular piece and many more. It's a combination of spoken word and jazz on Between Dusk and Dawn, and you can find that over at sjfmusic.com. You can take a listen. You can buy individual tracks. You can buy digital downloads or hard copies. You know, support this amazing, amazing group and talent. It's well worth your time and your money. Trust and believe. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. So I want to welcome everybody, you know, and thank everybody who's come out. We've got like 20 minutes left of the show today. Normally I do a Flavor Coffee House show, you know, but I was just really, really thinking about, you know, this Facebook thing and decided to turn Flavor Coffee House into a Flavism show talking about Facebook. And I want to thank you, Stephen, so much for, you know, coming on and sharing this time with me to talk about this particular subject, just because it's something I think about, you know, and maybe if I think about it and you think about it, maybe other people might too. And, you know, wanted to just kind of put some thoughts out there and see what people are thinking. Another thing that I had put out there, Stephen, during the week was I asked how many people actually have purchased something from somebody on Facebook, and if it was because of a promotion they saw or because of a connection they made.
Right, I saw that.
And,
yeah.
And three people responded, right?
Mm-hmm.
All ladies.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them were authors, and one is a musical talent. And the authors, you know, said that they have purchased books from other authors, but it was because of making a connection with them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I thought about that myself, and I'll be honest with you, all the purchases that I have made from a connection I made off of Facebook or because of connections that I made. Like, I felt really connected. There was something more of a personal connection on top of the fact of believing in the art, you know, and
exactly.
The artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I can say that about just about everything that I've sold over the past 3 years.
Okay.
Is that it came from not only just a connection through the music, but a personal connection as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's an interesting point. And what are your thoughts on that? I mean, I know that when somebody feels more personally connected to somebody, they're more inclined to support. But as an artist, you can't necessarily get out there and make all these personal connections, you know, to get people to buy, right?
It's hard to do. It's very hard to do. It's time-consuming.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I think that if you make enough good personal connections with people, online about what you're doing and what you're trying to do, what you're selling, whatever, that eventually those people will help you get information out about what you're doing to their network.
Right.
If you've got 1,000 people on your Facebook page, you don't necessarily have to go to each and every one of them to be effective. Because out of those 1,000 people, probably there's only probably half, say 500 maybe, that are not connected to the other ones. You know what I'm saying? Like, I may be
right.
a friend of yours on Facebook, and you may also be friends with 10 people that are also friends of mine.
Right.
Right, so if we could just contact those 10 people and have them contact people that are not in the network, then that's when you start doing business.
That's an interesting point, Stephen. And you've got my mind going right now, because it comes down to what I talk about a lot, what you and I talk about too on the show. Word of mouth is a very powerful tool.
Right.
And if you're somebody who has taken the time to purchase a product from an artist, I think you're the perfect marketing person, especially if you like it and appreciate
yeah.
it, to get the word out, you know. And I would like to really honestly see more of that happen. And I don't know if...
We all would.
I don't know if the consumers really understand their power. You know, it's one thing for us to say that we really, really like an artist. You know, it's one thing for us to say we maybe even go to the point of saying we purchase, you know, a book or a music or whatever from an artist. But it's something else when you take that time and say, you know what, I purchased this. I really, really like it. And I think that you would too, you know, and say, you know, come up, find one of those postings that has a link to where you can purchase it. Tell people why, you know, you like it. Write a simple little paragraph review on it, you know, whatever, and encourage other people to do that. And I think that could make Facebook much more effective, you know, for artists when you can get those people that have already supported you to just spread the word.
Exactly, yeah. And that would help things out a whole lot. That would help out a lot of artists greatly, because I can sit there on Facebook all day long and tell you how good I think I am,
mm-hmm.
but it really doesn't hold as much weight as you telling your network how good you
right.
think I am. You know, and that's the key right there. That's basically what everybody tries to get accomplished by doing all these posts and you know, mass emails and that kind of stuff like that. They're trying to get as many people to notice what they're doing as possible. So
I think a lot of times when we do these shows, Stephen, it's about just kind of getting people to think outside the box in education.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because as simple as things might seem, I'm being told this constantly, but I didn't know. You know, so I think it's going to be a challenge to really educate people, you know, on how they can support, you know, artists and their art. And, you know, I think that if, you know, maybe we continue to have these type of dialogues or whatever, you know, gradually people may understand, you know, the importance their role plays in the success of an artist. You know, we the
yeah.
consumers, we the fans, the true fans, are the ones that have the capability of pushing you guys out there.
Yeah, and
you know,
it's gotten better. You know, it's better now than it was 5 years ago.
Okay.
And it'll get better 5 years from now. But you know, we're in a transition period right now. There's a lot of people out there that are not on Facebook, that are not on the internet on a regular basis.
Right.
That have no idea what kind of music is being played out there on the internet right now. The only thing that they know is
right.
what they hear on their radio or what they see on TV, or, you know, what they see on VH1, MTV, BET, mm-hmm. and that's pretty much it.
Right.
There's got to be a way, and, you know, if I said this once, I said it 1,000 times. There's some independent music being made out here right now where people are posting on Facebook that is better than the stuff that I can hear on FM
oh.
radio.
Definitely. I mean,
okay?
Definitely.
The only difference between someone like Usher, Beyonce, and Melvin Chenault is a record label's marketing budget. These people put just as much time into their art. They put just as much time in the studio. They do just as much hard work on what they do. It's just that they don't have that marketing dollar behind them.
Right.
And they're not being heard on your radio when you're driving home from work or driving to work or when you're in your in the office listening to the radio during the day and stuff like that. I think I was listening to the radio the other day, and El DeBarge Jr. was being interviewed by Tom Joyner on his syndicated radio show in the morning.
Okay.
And they played a few little snippets of his tracks. He's got some pretty nice stuff out there.
Okay.
And they asked him, where can people get his music? And he mentioned that his music was on Reverb Nation.
Wow. Okay.
That was the very first time I ever heard Reverb Nation mentioned on the radio.
Mm.
And since that day, and that was about maybe about 2 weeks ago, I think, maybe three
okay.
weeks ago, the numbers on Reverb Nation have started to come up.
Mm.
As far as like all the numbers, listening numbers, new artists
right.
joining, I mean, every category that they have to measure has been going up because of that.
Right.
All because of that website being mentioned on the Tom Joyner Morning Show.
Right.
Okay. And people heard it. People that normally aren't on the internet heard it. And people started, I started getting new fans on my Reverb Nation page of people that I have never heard of before. People that are not on Facebook, they're not on Twitter, they're
mm-hmm.
not anywhere else. But they came over to Reverb Nation and family. And these are
right.
not artists. These are fans, people that just
okay.
listen to music. So it made a difference. But
well, and
we still got a long way to go.
Right. I agree with you that when you have the money to work with, you know, I mean, the marketing and promotion, and especially if you have just a marketing and promotion team, that does the work for you and you're not necessarily doing the work, you know, you can get out there. If you have that opportunity to get on, you know, on the radio, you know, that, you know, the what we call real radio, right, where you can
mm-hmm.
listen to it in your car and all of that and be heard, you know, I think that, you know, that's, of course, an opportunity that people pay attention to much more than, you know, being online, because like you said, there are a lot of people that aren't online, or there are people that have Facebook pages that only come on once a week, once a month, you know, they're not
right.
on there like, you know, we might be, you know, and, you know, so, you know, I am not here definitely to slam Facebook, because I'm not. I think it's a great tool. But I think, like we talked about, Stephen, you know, it's just oversaturated with a lot of underground independent artists, a lot. And a lot of them that don't know how to effectively promote either. And so when you see things over and over and over, you just kind of just become numb and you stop paying attention.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
So I'm sure that people have done that to me and said, God, you know, Flav is posting again about whatever, you know, and, you know, don't pay attention to what it is that, you know, I'm posting about.
Right.
You know, so if I'm doing that myself, I'm sure they're doing that to me too, you know. But I think that there are ways, you know, to continue to use Facebook as a resource for artists, you know, and to network. I mean, if it was not for Facebook, you know, I wouldn't have met you, Stephen, you know.
Right.
I really wouldn't have, because I would have never gotten involved in All Media Artists. You know, and this, that, and the other. And so I have no regrets. I've met some amazing people. I've connected with some amazing talents off of Facebook, you know, and they did not come from any other site but Facebook, you know. So I just think it's kind of gotten old for me. You know, there's been some drama. I mean, even right now I'm having issues, you know, as we're on the radio trying to get onto Facebook. And all, I can see that people are responding to the radio show or whatever, but I can't see their posts. it's telling me when I click on it, it says the page is temporarily unavailable. Like, what does that mean? But I can, you know, I can click onto my page, but I just can't see the notifications that people are posting on my page, you know. So anyway, you know, I think there's some challenges with that too, but like you said too, the more people that are on there, more opportunities for spam and hackers. And I do think that Facebook right now is going through that period where, people are getting, you know, their pages hacked and stuff because, you know, just even with my little incident that I went through last week with the young lady, you know, posting crazy stuff on my page that I've never had a problem with her in the past. You know, so, you know, I think that it's a great tool to use. Again, I think there are other tools out there. I think that one of the best advices that you gave tonight, Stephen, is the fact that for an artist, have a website, you know, of your own. You know, there are so many ways to build a website that are inexpensive. You know, I don't know if there are free websites still out there.
Yes, there are.
There used to be.
Yes, there are. But
if you
pay for a website, the biggest thing that comes with a website is an email address.
Mm-hmm.
That's not Yahoo or Gmail or something like that. Like
right.
Mine is Stephen@sjfmusic.com.
Right.
Okay. And a lot of sites like Reverb Nation, for instance. I know we only got a little bit of time left, but guys, if you own Reverb Nation and you're an artist, they do have the ability to be able to set you up a website of your own, and I think it only costs like about $17 a month, $17 and some change a month. To have
right.
your own website up on the internet so you can send people to it. So send
right.
people to it. And
you know,
it's definitely worth it.
Somebody else has raised their hand, Stephen, so let me bring them in before the show runs out. All right, my sister Epiphany, welcome to Flavism tonight.
Oh, my goodness. You know my telephone number, don't you, Lady Flava? How embarrassing.
She knows my
Hello.
Too.
Hi, Stephen. How are you?
How you doing, girl?
I'm quite well, thank you. Thank you.
Good.
Happy Saturday, Lady Flava.
Oh, I know. Happy Saturday, too. I'm
thank
happy at
you.
Work.
Oh, well, somebody got to do it.
Yeah, okay. I
know,
because I'm that struggling artist cheerleader. I can't quit my day job yet.
Well, I'm that struggling artist. I can't quit my day job. You know, I get up at 5 o'clock every morning so that I can do all the things that I do for my art before
okay.
I go into my classroom and teach all day. Then
right.
I come home and then I do stuff for my radio show. So there's really not enough hours in the day, actually, Lady Flava. So
sure.
I feel for you for like a half of a minute. I'm telling you, I don't have a day off. I just
right.
wanted to chime in about using tools effectively.
Right.
Using tools effectively. There are so many tools available to us. You just have to know how to use them. And if you use them incorrectly, it's like giving, and I don't mean to be mean when I make the comparison to being a teacher, but it's like giving my kids chalk, sidewalk chalk, and saying, okay, you can only write on the sidewalk, and then they start writing on the wall. Okay, so they're doing what's asked backwards, what's not going to serve them and only going to make them regretful in the end.
Mm-hmm.
You have to
exactly.
know what tools are available, know how to use them. And in the internet world, you have to know how to interlink things. Trust and believe, Lady Play, but I'm not sitting here doing everything individually. The
yeah.
main thing when my website was built 4 years ago, it was to be all-encompassing so that everything I do outside of my radio show, because that's separate from me as an artist, is at my site. So when somebody hits me up and they want something, my my manager can email them the link to my website and everything, my EPK, Reverb Nation, Twitter, you know, whatever. Everything is in one place. People don't want to hunt and peck for stuff.
Exactly.
They don't want to. And even so much as my album is on CD Baby, it's on iTunes, it's on Amazon, it's on Last FM, blah, 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 blah. I have a very dear friend, Jay King, who is just legendary in the music industry. He also happens to be Karen White's manager. And the other day he's like, where's your album at? And I told him, and he's like, I'm going to tell you, I buy everything from iTunes. I buy everything from iTunes because one click, I buy it, it goes into my library. Now, that's, you know, you have to sort of look at it from a fan's perspective. They may not have the same ways of doing things like you and I. You know, I can go and download something and move it to a different file or copy and paste the case. You know, some certain people, I'm going to tell you, Rebirth Nation has traditionally only been very popular amongst artists. Same thing with Bandcamp. Bandcamp, still, the reason why I pulled my work from Bandcamp outside of one track is because, A, people can go to your Bandcamp and listen to all of your stuff without buying it because they don't let you put snippets. Okay, so if somebody can sit up there and listen to your album from top to bottom all day and all night, tomorrow through next year, and not have to buy it. Okay,
exactly.
So that's one thing. That so you're giving the cow away for free,
exactly.
You know, instead of the milk. And then the other thing is Bandcamp is free. Okay, let's just get down to cases. A lot of people go to Bandcamp because it does not cost anything to put your stuff there. However, with freedom like that, there comes a cost. When I put my stuff on CD Baby, it's a portal for Amazon, FIT, LastFM, all these other places. So it's worth my money to put it there so that the digital partners get everything, and then I don't have to deal with it. You know, Bandcamp is horrifically known for not paying people. So is Reverb Nation. That's why I don't sell stuff on Reverb Nation. My stuff on Reverb Nation is free. If I was sitting up there trying to collect, it would be ridiculousness. So I just use it as a tool. You can put your EPK there. You can reach other people. But for the most part, and I don't mean to keep talking, I know you only have a little bit of time, but I just wanted to get this out there because I don't think a lot of artists realize this. Reverb Nation is a great tool. It is amongst artists. But the layman, the person that goes to your show, and if you don't have hard copies or you're not on iTunes or something, they're going to say, where can I get your stuff? And you say Reverb Nation, they're not going to know what you're talking about.
Good point, Epiphany. That is a good point because it is something that people who are part of the industry, the music industry, they understand what it is.
My family, Lady Flavor, my family, they are people who would love to buy my stuff. If I was just to tell them to go to Reverb Nation, they would say, what is that?
Sure.
But if I say iTunes, they'll go, oh, okay.
They know what iTunes, Amazon, that kind of stuff like that. They know that.
But as artists, we don't really want people to go to iTunes. Firstly, you know why? Because iTunes, out of all of the partners, they take the most of our money. I get a bigger chunk of my money from CD Baby, an MP3 download. If you go right now, Lady Flavor, and buy my album, I wouldn't even know you bought my album from iTunes for about 30 to 60 days because it takes that long to get my database.
Oh, really?
So I have...
Yep.
Yes, I've had people like
take about 30
Facebook
days.
And they'll say, oh, I bought your album and you didn't send me a thank you note. Well, first of all, I cannot possibly say thank you to thousands of people who buy my every single album from iTunes. Second of all, it takes 30 days, as Stephen said, 30 to mm-hmm. 60 days.
Yeah.
Because there's a cycle, just like paying a bill, right? You know,
okay.
your bills are due on the 15th or whatever. So
wow.
if the deposit is made on the 15th, you may not even know that Lady Flavor bought your album until the 15th
yeah.
of the following month.
Okay,
yeah.
I didn't even
that's
realize
true.
That. Okay.
Yep, that's
yeah,
very true.
So there's a lot of reasons why we do what we want. I mean,
okay.
what we do, not because we want to. And with my hard copies, I do encourage people to buy because I did something most people don't do. I did an eco-friendly album. And I wanted people to know that you can buy a green product, and it's just
sure.
as beautiful, and you can recycle it, et cetera, and not use a bunch of plastic. However, you know, in this day and age, we got to just be real. People, I mean, my husband just came to me the other day and said, you have got to import all those CDs to the computer. It's just ridiculous how much vinyl and CDs we have in this house, you know. So, I mean, I understand that in this day and age we want MP3s and everything, but also know this, fans, MP3 is the worst quality of sound. It is
exactly.
the worst quality. So once we take, as artists, we have, thank you, Stephen, once we have our album in Wave or whatever format we have it, we have to compress that file to an MP3 to make it smaller for you all to go and buy it in 3 minutes, okay? And when we do that, we are compromising the quality of the music. So that's why I ask people to please purchase the hard copy so that they, A, I like albums, you know.
I
like holding it in my hand.
I
like having books. I don't own
yeah.
one book on tape. I have a Nook. I don't have
yeah.
them. If I want
yeah.
a book, if Lady Flavor wrote a book, I would
yeah.
go and buy it because I
yeah.
want to hold it in my hand.
Yeah.
But, so, I mean, there's lots of reasons why artists do it. It's not to be greedy and, you know, or anything. I put out 2 albums, and I'm a teacher. I did it on a teacher's salary. So
right.
if I can do it, I always say anybody can do it. I mean, it might take a minute to do it. But I just wanted to get my little say-so in there. It's not about greed. It's about using tools effectively, knowing that if you put your shit, excuse my French, on Hulkshare, please know that the majority of the people on Hulkshare are hip-hop artists. And so if you put your stuff there and nobody bites, it's because it's hip-hop, you know? I mean, you got to know, you have to use tools effectively.
Right.
Effectively. I think I'm very good at using my tools effectively, you know.
Well, Tiffany,
you
you're the person,
to
you're the
kind
of, you have that personality, though, that you're going to do your research. You're not just going to jump in blindly, you know, and I think that's what a lot of people do in this industry that are newer or it's amazing to me how people don't want to do the research. You know, and so, you know,
because
it's just
they just want to
yeah.
be heard, Lady Flavor.
Right.
They just want to be heard. I have people send me tracks for my show, and they're not horrible tracks content-wise, but quality-wise, I could never play it.
Right.
You know, so, you know, there's, I don't just do albums. I have to pay everybody that produces it, and then I pay a master producer to master it, to take a fine-tooth comb and go through every track and listen so that the levels are all the same, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You've got to look at it outside of your artistic view. It hurts us. I know it does. But
well, you know what?
You've
got
to be about your business.
It's an interesting point that you brought up, Epiphany, and basically I'm going to paraphrase. Basically, you're talking about quality of product.
Sure.
Going from the MP3, the recordings, to the actual just, you know, CDs and the difference in quality there. That's an interesting point because I think that's the other problem that has happened on Facebook. Okay, we've got the mainstream people that are, you know, people are still following, you know, on Facebook and everything, and so everybody's up on what they're putting out right now. And we've got the independent underground artists that are out there. But amongst the independent underground artists, there is such a vast difference in quality of the production. So
yeah.
in a sense, I think that also
it can be.
Hinders, you know, the interest in supporting artists too is because of not thinking that the quality is going to be there. When there are many artists,
right,
such as Stephen and you, Epiphany, that are putting out quality products.
Yeah, I mean, I've always had the great understanding that my work will be here long after I am dust.
Yes.
That being said, I don't want to put anything out there that is going to bring shame on my child and his children, et cetera, et cetera. And all of the people who have invested time in me will be just mortified if I did anything less. I mean, every album I have, I take it up a step, you know, and it costs a lot more every single time.
I was
in the studio last weekend, Lady Play, but trust and believe, it cost me a gang of money. But it was a pro studio. They were not my friends. They, I don't know these people. I booked my time, went in there, and did what I needed to do and came out. Also, let me just tell people, please, whatever you do, somehow, some way, when you leave that lab, bring your shit with you. Whether it's on a flash drive, burn it to disk, whatever. Just take it with you. Trust and believe. Just take it from Epiphany. It's a good look.
I won't be the lab.
You
don't
need to go into detail.
Because I know an artist who is still dealing with this to this day right now, trying to get tracks out of the studio.
We're not going to go into it publicly because I don't speak of that. But had I not taken my shit on flash drive, I would have been screwed in my backside with no Vaseline. Trust me. They think of you or in their studio as theirs.
Those are definitely lessons learned. Those are, you know, and that's valuable information too in itself.
But definitely
have a flash drive or external hard drive that you take with you into
have
the studio.
Take it with you. And my external hard drive died 2 weeks ago. I had over 100,000 tracks on my external hard drive. So let me just tell people this. Don't just use your external hard drive. You must get a virtual storage locker. So that if your house burns down, everything is saved. Stephen, because I lost really hundreds of thousands of tracks that I 90% of them bought, you know. And luckily, these people who I've done my show with for 4 years, they know, oh, we know you bought my album. Here, let me just send you a zip file right quick. You know, but I even lost some of my own stuff. You know, some of my own stuff that was never released, it's gone forever, you know.
Everything I've ever done, master is sitting right on a cloud server, along with an external hard drive and the hard drive on my computer. If I lose my computer, all I got to do is go to the cloud server and re-download
And this is really good information, too, you know, because... Do you know how many authors have saved their manuscripts on their hard drive? And then the hard drive crashes?
Yep.
I'm like, are you serious?
You've got to have a virtual storage locker. And there's another thing that a lot of people don't know about, which is something I've just done for artists. And maybe I'm giving away the towel, but I'm going to go ahead and do it, okay? And there is a site called Kickstarter.com. Do you know about it, Stephen?
Yes,
Kickstarter.com?
Ma'am.
Of course you do. See, great minds think alike. Do you know about it? Do you know about it, Lady Flavor?
No, I've never heard of it. Kickstarter?
Okay, let me break it down. And then I'm going to just open it, and I'm going to let Stephen continue. Kickstarter.com is a site where you fundraise for your project, whether it is you are making an album for the kids in your classroom and you are trying to raise a certain amount of funds for this project, and then you have, that's my dog barking at birds, and you have certain levels of donations, right? Let's say you're trying to raise $10,000 and the donations are in increments of $50. And with every $50 donation, you give them a MP3 and a ringtone and a T-shirt that says Flavor News. okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So that is, you set it up, it, you know, at the site to fundraise, okay? You got to have, you can't just be doing this and taking people's money. I would recommend you have your ducks in a row with the IRS and you have mm-hmm. a business account, et cetera, like I do,
right.
And I'm going to guess you do
that
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're going to have to report these things. You can't just be taking people's money. I have a friend who wanted to make an album. He's a singer. He's a solo singer. And his goal was $10,000. He raised $20,000. He raised double what he thought. Now, with me, I was hesitant to do it because I thought that it made you look like you were begging. But you got to understand there's maybe somebody at Bayer Aspirin and Apple who might come across it and they got some extra money. You know, they're not looking at it like that. You
right.
have got to, first of all, know your fan base. And once you know your fan base, if you have exhausted your fan base, which does happen, then you've got to find a new market. And I have to say that I think the Kickstarter.com, for those who are doing quality work with their heart in the right place, may be a good resource. Now, Stephen, take it away.
Yeah, getting back to the IRS thing, because a lot of those people, if they donate to you, they're going to report that donation to the IRS.
And what are they going to require from you, Stephen?
Oh, they're going to be looking for 1099s and all kinds of
yes,
stuff.
Yes, they are.
And
they don't want
yeah,
that number.
So, you got to, if you're going to do something like that, you better have your ducks in a row because, you can easily raise, you know, $10,000 doing that, but Uncle Sam going to want their share. And I wouldn't suggest it to just about anybody, but if you are serious about what you're doing, you got your infrastructure in place, you got your record keeping stuff in place and all that, it's a great tool to use. Seriously.
It is. And there are people that are trying to, like, start a new video game. You know what I mean? I mean,
it's all kind of people
that
are trying to do
that. He has friends out there fundraising because they want to start a video game. They're trying to get money for that. And I mean, of course, there's people that are trying to raise something for cancer awareness. Or, I mean, there's all different kinds of things. But if you're just straightforward, listen, my name is Tiffany Castro. I have a new project I'm trying to do. I've done 2 independent albums. I want to do a new one, but, times are hard, and I could really use a little extra. You know, I mean, if you come correct, I think it's okay, you know.
And you have to give them something when they donate. Like I said,
you got to give them
a couple of free MP3s or something, you know.
Yeah, and there's different tiers, you know,
mm-hmm.
for every
yes.
donation. You know, for this tier, they'll get a couple of MP3s. Maybe you'll
mm-hmm.
send them a video, happy birthday. I don't know. You know, whatever, T-shirts.
Yeah.
You'll perform for them free or whatever.
Depending on how much they donate, performing ain't nothing.
Yeah, performing
right.
ain't nothing to me. Just give me a way there, and I'll be there, and I'll do it for you. You know. And if you are a true artist, you'll do it too.
Well, and I think that the things that you're talking about, you know, whether no matter what the site is, websites to, you know, trying to raise funds, you know, to promoting on Facebook, whatever, the bottom line is you need to know how to market yourself and sell yourself. And if you don't have that type of understanding, it is something that you need to learn. And there are so many resources, as Stephen would say, online. Like, go to YouTube. Stephen will just, he'll say, YouTube it. You can figure out how to use those programs, Flava. You know, so I think that people need to do the research.
YouTube.
Hmm?
I have a huge YouTube because I have my performances, I have my show promos, and then I have a video blog. And I have
right.
3 sets of different people, you know, people who follow my blog who don't even really know I'm an artist,
right.
you know,
right.
people who see my artistic stuff that don't know about me being vegan and trying
right.
to be eco-friendly, you know. So in the middle somewhere, YouTube is a very useful too, and so is Vimeo.
Well, it's a great tool to learn and understand about things that you don't know about. And for people that don't like to read books and manuals like myself, it's a great tool to use, you know, in learning and understanding the internet.
There's a lot of instructional videos on there.
Right. You know,
if there's something you don't know how to do.
Oh, my God. I'm a huge knitter, Flava, and if I forget a stitch, I'll go to YouTube and, you know, put it in, and there'll be somebody doing the knitting stitch, and I'll remember. I mean, you know, I mean, it's, you have to know the tools and use them.
Right.
But what I can say is this, and this is the last thing I'm going to say, on Facebook, since I know that's your core discussion, I think it's important to know promotion versus spamming. Promotion versus spamming.
Yes.
Because if you have never talked to me in a day in my life, and I got 5,000 people on Facebook following me, and you just, like, hit me with stuff all the time, and I don't even know you, I'm just going to remove you and remove it, mark it as spam. You know, you can't do that. You have to be mindful of what you're doing. And you can't just be spamming people just because you think they get high traffic and somebody might see your shit. It's not cool. It's just not cool, you know.
Oh.
And then you're going to be marked as a spammer and perhaps get your account, you know, compromised.
Yep, and that's very true. There's a fine line between marketing and spamming.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that is a good point, you know, to bring up too. You know, but I think the bottom line is you need to understand, you know, kind of like what Epiphany had said and Stephen said earlier, you know, understand what it is that you're out there doing. If you don't understand, there are tools right there on the internet, you know, that can teach us, you know, how to do something, how to understand. You know, when it comes to being an artist.
Create a database. I did not even know how much of a gay following I had until 2 months ago. You know, I mean, I knew, but I didn't really know until I went to a Pam Grier tribute.
Right.
And I happened to be there, and I got bum rushed by a gang of people. You know, so the thing is, understand who you're. I can't say it enough. Understand your fan base. Mm-hmm. Understand your fan base. I'm performing at Gay Pride because of this. You know what I mean? You've got to understand it. And if you don't, then you're going to be shooting it to the wrong people, you know?
Yeah.
People don't care.
Yes, yes. That's a really good point, too. I think, you know, when you sit there and you blindly put things out there, and it's like something like, for instance, like I had said earlier in the show with Stephen, don't just post something on my page and not know what it is that I like and appreciate.
Yeah, you
got to
know
gonna,
who you're talking. You got to know the person a little bit.
You know
a little bit about them.
Exactly. You know, don't send your music to, you know, a hip-hop station if you're jazz. You know, I mean, it's just, you know what's out there and who's going to pay attention, like Epiphany is saying. You know your fan base. You know, and I used to say this all the time when I was in the literary community big. You know, who are you writing for? Do you know who your target audience is? And it's really interesting how many didn't even think about that. You know, who's going to buy their book?
But they don't care. Because as artists, it's so hard to get involved with the business. It's so hard. Nobody likes it. It's ugly. It's no fun. And God bless Nicole Jones for being my manager. Because, you know, it's no fun. We don't like it. But you gotta be mindful. You gotta be mindful. It just won't work. Otherwise you're just kicking yourself. You're in, like, chasing your tail. You know what I mean, Flava? You're just chasing your tail.
Sure, and that's kind of why I did this show, Epiphany, is because I almost was feeling like I was chasing my tail as being an artist cheerleader. You know, I felt like what I was doing, you know. Especially on Facebook, because Facebook is not the only place that I am, you know, but it just felt so ineffective, you know, and, you know, my whole thing is wanting to shine the light on you guys as artists, you know, and it just felt like what I was doing was a waste of time, you know, so it was like tucking my tail between my legs and saying, okay, what do I do now, what do I do now, you know, and that's kind of why I was driven to want to do the show on Facebook, you know.
Sure. And I understand that, and I appreciate that. And I say all the time on Twitter, supporting artists means more than you simply promoting you. You know, I've had, I don't know how many people on my show over the last 4 years, you know.
Right.
And I, you know, ask for nothing in return. I don't. If I did that, I would be one sad panda. Trust and believe. You know, but I look and I see, you know, and there are a lot of people, and they don't promote anybody but themselves. And I will say that on my fan page, I do only promote myself. My fan page is Tiffany Castro. That's what it is for. But my regular page, I'm happy to promote other people. You see it all the time, Flav. I promote other people
right.
all the time.
Sure.
You know.
That's
you know,
an interesting
so.
Point. I'm glad you brought up the fan page. So I do want to talk about that right quick before I actually shut out the show. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So in my opinion, it is just something that is a given. When you see an artist have a fan page, an artist page, that's for the artist.
Right.
Unless they say, you know, you can post and advertise on my page. To me, it's about
right.
the artists, you know, letting us know what's going on with them, getting feedback from us about what they're doing, whatever. And there's been some interesting, controversy going on Facebook in regards to, you know, people taking their spam and posting it onto artist pages that has nothing to
time.
Do with the artist.
I go through it every week when I post about my show. For instance, tomorrow, Arrested Development is going to be on my show. Of
uh-huh.
course, there's a gang of people that want to come to that show, and they want speech to hear their stuff. I went through this 2 years ago when he was on my show. And on the event for the show, which is on my fan page, people
uh-huh.
who put their stuff, inbox me, can you pass my tracks to him, et cetera. I don't really do that. I don't really do that. And also, you know, another thing is I don't share tracks with other hosts. Uh-huh. Now, that's not me being shitty. It's just that I have a certain level of trust with my artists who come on my
yeah.
show. And if they say that's for your show, I can't do it. But back
yeah, exactly.
to the spamming thing, if I have an event out, you know, featuring Lady Flava or whatever, it is not an open invitation for you to put all of your links for things so everybody will see your stuff. I will simply remove it.
Right.
Period. In a heartbeat. I don't even think nothing about it. It's like, delete, 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 bye. You know,
right.
because it's not about them. It's about the artist at hand, you know.
Exactly.
And that goes
yeah.
back to what I was talking about earlier about the just the common courtesy of it. You know, if you see somebody promoting a specific show or something like that, you know, it's kind of, to me, it's rude to just go ahead and post up something about you that has got absolutely nothing to do with the event.
Right.
It's,
of course.
And that's one thing that a lot of artists have to, you know, get in their heads is that, you know, come on now, we're all out here trying to do the same thing.
But they think that you're not being supportive if you don't allow it to be there. And that you got to know it's about the subject at hand. It's not to be mean, you know. And I agree, Stephen. I think it's quite rude, actually.
And it's so easy for them to set up an event of their own. You know, they can set up an event
sure.
that says, okay, I've got a CD coming out. It's going to be posted online on such a date. That's the date of the event. And, you know, invite their own people and all that and just do it that way instead of trying to piggyback
do
on somebody else's stuff.
Take
you know,
5 minutes, go to SoundCloud. You know, there's
mm-hmm.
a gang of free places to do your thing. You don't
exactly.
have to spam other people. Yeah.
I
concur.
It's getting old.
Well, I guess
I
you know.
Concur.
I would definitely say that the way that we could close out this show is the bottom line is, you know, like Stephen and Epiphany has said and myself, you know, understand, you know, the tools out there and how to best effectively use them. Don't just spam people with your stuff. You know, get creative and with your postings also. You know, if you have the capabilities of creating YouTubes or flyers or whatever, get creative with that too. I think for me, visuals, I really enjoy visuals. But, you know, I don't want to see them over and over. If I am a part of your team, I don't need you to continuously put your stuff on my page because of the fact, like Epiphany says, you know, you're putting it there because you're thinking somebody else is going to see it. You're not necessarily putting it there for Lady Flava's benefit. You know,
right.
The bottom line, like Stephen said earlier in the show, unless somebody's subscribed to my page, they're not going to see it anyhow.
Unless
you
they
know?
Come to your page, yeah.
You know, and I don't think I've got very few people that just come to my page just to see what's on my page. Very few people.
Oh,
there
I
are
wish
some.
I could say the same. I wish
but
I could
but
say
very,
the
very
same.
Few people come to my page to just see what's on my page. So you're being very ineffective by just posting on somebody else's page unless you're wanting them to see it. The owner of that page to see it, that's one thing. Again, be mindful of what you know that person who owns that page would want to see.
Trust and believe, if you post something on my page for somebody else's benefit and I have not talked to you, I don't know you, I will remove it. So it's just a waste
of
the keystroke.
I'll just delete
really.
It. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I think the other thing that Stephen had mentioned earlier in the show is, too, if you're a part of a group, don't sit there and saturate the page with just your postings. You know, give other people opportunities. I do think the groups are challenging because there are so many people posting in them that
that's why I'm not hardly in any group. And I've taken a lot of flack for it. I have people
right.
that don't talk to me anymore because I left a group.
Right.
And the reason
right.
why I leave groups is because I don't have time to participate and I don't want to appear snobby. So
right.
it's easier to me to just leave a group. I'm in very few groups.
I really hate the fact that, you know, Facebook has made it where you can be automatically put into a group without
yes.
being asked.
Yeah.
I don't like that at all. I was, you know... And this is not a slam on my people or whatever, but I was put into the Black Panther group, right? Okay, like, I'm not, you know, black, you know, and it's like, I'm sure you don't necessarily want me to come in there and comment on certain things, you know, without it being a challenge or whatever, you know, so it's like, okay, why did you put me into the Black Panther group, you know, but I get
stuff like, you know, I don't want to say kill whitey, but, you know, there's like all kind of anti-white stuff. They like look at me and they see my hair and they think, oh, she's super black, let me put her in a group. But my husband is white, I'm half white. I mean, I just deleted, somebody put a comment today about something about white people. And I just won't tolerate any anti-white, any anti-gay,
right.
any, you know, if you know me, then you would know better. If you knew
right.
better, you'd do better, right?
Yeah. Right,
exactly.
So, and I think you should take the time, just like I do. You know, I sit back and I just kind of watch, you know, people or whatever. And I think that if you pay attention to me, you'll figure out what works with me and what doesn't, because I'm pretty verbal about it, you know?
You know the best way
right.
to do it, to find out if somebody likes something or not? Just ask them.
Right.
Yeah.
Ask them.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, just send them a quick email.
I have a vegan group on Facebook, and I'll post it and say, if you would like me to add it.
Inbox.
I'll say, if you want me to add you, ask me. And that's
yeah.
the only way I add people to my group is if they ask me. I don't just randomly put stuff people
right.
in my group. You know,
so
there's a bunch of people
right.
who are anti-vegan, trust and believe. I get
it all the time. And I think that, I think there's this kind of a protocol that you should follow, you know, when you're on any social networks, you know, when you're out there trying to promote yourself, you know, and take the time. Just don't blindly do things, you know. Do really, really think about how you want to put yourself out there, you know, because there's so many people that to compete against, you know, when you're trying to market and trying to promote. And many of us don't have a budget, you know, to work from. Like Stephen said, if we had the money, we could do a whole bunch of things. But a lot of us, you know, are very limited, you know. And so we can utilize these amazing tools, these free sites and all of that, in a very effective way, you know. But, you know, I'm sitting here, like, looking at Facebook right now and all these, like, notifications, same person putting into every single group that I somehow got put into.
Exactly,
you know,
I'm on here at the same time.
You know,
and
what does that even mean? You know, it's
basic,
like, okay.
And
basic,
you know what? I'm not even in this group. Let me just hit decline while I'm thinking about it. Okay.
You know, you do not ever
want to oversaturate your market. You
right.
never
okay.
want to oversaturate your market.
And invite people to an event, and you hit a wall. Right.
You got to go outside of what you thought was your market.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, and you can. I mean, there is definitely a ways of being able to introduce a new group of people. That's why sometimes when I do a listening party, I mix up the genres. Because I have gotten messages from people from around the world says, oh, you know what, I never, like, listened to that kind of music, but I was really kind of feeling
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and
there
know
is
what?
A way
80%
of introducing.
80% of the people that buy my stuff say that. I never
right.
bought spoken word albums
right.
before I bought yours. So
right.
I would be just plain stupid if I rely, A, on other artists to buy my stuff,
right.
and to just, you know, make assumptions about things. That's stupid.
Right.
That makes no sense to me.
So, you know, I think it's really honestly taking some time, you know, doing your research, being tasteful with how you go about promoting. I do like the idea of taking the time of maybe reaching out to an individual, you know, group of people, like individuals, like maybe 10 in a day, introducing yourself and just seeing if maybe you can gain a fan out of that person. Because
shit,
there's so many people,
that.
You know, but that's time-consuming. But, you know, it's so time-consuming just sitting here posting over and over and over in all these groups. I'm like, and you're not getting anything out of it, where if you make an individual connection, you may actually gain a real fan.
Exactly.
And I'm going to encourage people that if you do support underground independent artists and you have somebody that you have purchased a product from or you know the quality of work that they do, take the time to share it with other people. You know, let your network know. And I'm not just speaking on Facebook or online. You could let the people know that you work with. You can let the people know that, you know, you go to church with or you go hang out with. If you have a dinner party, you know, at your house, think about putting in some music from an underground independent artist and just let the people experience that it within your own home at a intimate affair that you're having. That's a great way of introducing some of the artists that you support, you know, to, you know, the people that are in your circles. Sometimes I think we miss the fact that we are connected to people who actually do go out and purchase things. So why not introduce some artists?
You have to separate your friends and your family from your fans. You know, those are not necessarily the people that you think they're going to buy your stuff first, but not necessarily because they think you're going to give it to them. Okay?
Yeah.
So
right.
you have to determine. I mean, my close, like, you know, my immediate family, yeah, they'll buy it. But, of course, those are the people I go, oh, here you go. You don't have to buy it. Of course, those are the people, you know, my auntie and my first cousins, you know, things like that. But, like, people at my job where I teach, only two of the teachers even know I'm an artist. They don't even know because I was at another school for 12 years. So when I've only been here for a year, they don't know nothing. I had one of the teachers walking with me across the street the other day to go get coffee, and a meter maid stopped me. And you know what she said to me? Flava, she goes, you look a lot like somebody named Epiphany Castro.
Right.
That was some funny shit. And I was like, really? Is she good? Her, but I thought she would be a lot taller. And I go, well, sweetheart, I'm Epiphany Castro. Because I don't look like that. You know, when I'm a teacher, I got on my glasses. And,
okay.
You never know. You'll be at the grocery store, whatever. And, you know, people will recognize you and be kind to them because you never know who your fans are. You know,
well, this is
I
true.
Really do try not to go out in public looking toe up after that grocery store debacle.
I used to be that way, and I hate to admit it. You know, when I get up early in the morning and have to walk my grandson to school, I just so stopped the lipstick and all of that, you know. And I used to would not leave the house without lipstick on. But, I've been out and about, especially when it's warmer here in Seattle, which seems to be rare these days. But I have Flava tattooed on my arm. You know, and I've had people come up to me and say, oh, you're Lady Flava, you know, and I'm like, okay, I guess the name on my arm and my hair, you know, if they've seen pictures of me, is a good, you know, giveaway that it's me, you know. But I agree. I think that an image is something very important.
I mean, I'm not
saying
get all dolled up, you know, but I mean, I had surgery 2 months ago, and they couldn't find, you know, the thing they put on your hair when you're getting surgery?
Uh-huh.
You know, put your hair underneath the thing.
Yeah.
And they had to, like, go find the special one because I have so much hair.
They're like,
you sure do have a lot of hair. And the anesthesiologist assistant was like, oh, her name is Epiphany. I know who she is. She has a whole lot of hair. Now, see, if I went out and I tucked my hair, nobody would even know it was me. You got to, like, know these things. You don't want to, like, look two toe up.
See, and I don't think that men really have to worry about that as much as women
not
do.
Not at all.
Even. Right.
Oh, yes, we do.
I would agree.
Yes, we do.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah, because, please, I got to, if I don't shave at least every other day, I look like Grizzly Adams. Okay.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But see, men, y'all look the same mostly, even if you don't shave. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
You pretty much
look the same.
Yeah, but
you know,
y'all have to put a whole lot more.
People see on stage, and then they see me in a tracksuit at the grocery store. You know, with my glasses and a hat on, I'm not looking exactly Epiphany-ish, as I like to call it. See, men, y'all are good.
I feel you.
Y'all got it good. I mean, if I saw who I like to refer to as my husband, if I saw Stokely walking down the street, I would know it's Stokely, whether he shaved or not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Me or Flavin, we go out and wouldn't nobody look twice. They wouldn't know it was us if we didn't look cute.
You know? And that's a funny point because I was talking about that not that long ago, Epiphany, like walking down Beacon Hill Avenue or whatever. You know, there's a lot of creative souls that hang out up in the area that I live. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, like, who's seeing me as I walk to the school, you know, up the street, you know, driving past me or whatever. They probably thought, oh, my God.
It's the worst time when people see you.
Right.
It's the worst time. I was coming out of this place in Oakland called the House of Music, and my friend Dwayne Wiggins from Tony owns it. And I had a meeting with him. I had on flip-flops and jeans and a Coca-Cola T-shirt, and I came out. And all these people knew him, of course, first. And then they saw me, and then I was like, oh, man, this is bad. This is really bad. I knew it because this is your problem because if it wasn't for you, wouldn't nobody have cared about me? You know?
Lord have
mercy. Well, let me get up off your phone. I'm going to go and watch a movie. My family is out, and I'm going to go watch my girly movie.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much for calling into the show, Epiphany.
Oh,
I really,
thank you, Flavor,
you know,
for
I appreciate
having me,
the knowledge
dear.
That you shared.
Nice talking to you, Steven.
You too, Epiphany. You take care, girl.
All right,
I'll
y'all take care.
Time.
Have a blessed night.
All right,
you
darling.
You too.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. All righty.
She's a mess.
Dude, she is, you know, but, she shared some very, very valid points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that people just need to to be very mindful on any network that they're out there, you know, how they go about trying to connect and trying to create a fan base and, you know, trying to, you know, sell a product, you know, and all of that, you know. And, you know, sometimes maybe it is a good idea to pay attention to the mainstream people and see what it is that they're doing that might you might be able to, you know, utilize in your understanding of how to put yourself out there. Okay, we don't have the money that they have. You know, we can't pay somebody to be on the different social networks like they do, you know, or whatever. You know, but I think that we can do a much better job in utilizing these free tools, you know, to promote ourselves and all of that. And, you know, I guess, you know, so I'm glad that I did this show, Stephen. I'm glad that you came on, you know, with me to have this dialogue. I do hope that people will come back and take a listen and just, you know, I encourage anybody just even, you know, come back and share your thoughts with me. You know, if you want to share, you know, something that, you know, about, respond about something Stephen said, you can still contact me and I can share it with him. You can hit me at radio@flavanews.com. I'd love to hear your thoughts, you know, about any of the shows that I do, you know, because feedback is something valuable too. And I think that when you as an artist get feedback, it's something to really think about. Don't always consider it somebody being a hater. You know, I think that you can definitely tell when somebody's a hater and when somebody's trying to give constructive criticism. And pay attention, you know, and I do think you should know your audience and fan base, you know, before you start putting yourself out there. I do think that there's a way of crossing over, you know, into other groups of people that may not be originally what you might think is your fan base. You know, do your research, you know, get creative and be very respectful being online, you know, of how you go about promoting and marketing yourself. So, Stephen, my friend, I love you so much. I appreciate you spending this time with me. And, you know, let's just keep, you know, trying to educate people. I think you're an amazing talent. You deserve to be heard. So everybody and anybody that's listening to the show, please go check out Stephen and what he's doing. He's a great musician. He's an amazing producer over at www.sjfmusic.com. They've got an album out right now, which is called Between Dusk and Dawn. It's a compilation CD. He's got music that's coming out here in the very near future and some of the other artists that he's working with. You know, new music is continuously coming out of the SJF music camp. So I definitely, you know, put my name on anything that comes out of this an amazing, amazing group. So, Stephen, I love you. Take care. And, you know, this is just how we do it from time to time, isn't it?
That's how we roll, girl.
All right, darling. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Have a good night, sweetie.
All right. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.